If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Hey! This is JJ and Alex.
I made a name for myself, I told you I won't be denied.
As you wrap up your day, it's time to get your fix of the teams you live for and the sports you love. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's a Tuesday on the Wasatch Front, and we normally talk about Tuesdays being boring. Like, no one loves Tuesday. Tuesdays are never holidays. Tuesdays, like, Sly, what do you do on a Tuesday? Like, what do you get excited about on Tuesdays?
Taco Tequila Tuesdays, brother.
I've been proven wrong.
I'm all about it.
I feel like an idiot.
I'm just trying to figure out which tacos I'm going to have tonight. I had salmon tacos on Sunday. I was like, ooh, I got to have these Tuesday. But, you know, you could do chicken tacos.
Okay. Some of us don't do the tequila, but I could do a lot of tacos. So... you're right. I never really thought about that, and you've really changed my mind here because...
tacos are great.
I went on a rant recently about how lame Tuesday is because...
oh, no.
On Tuesday, I mean, I gotta go to work, or I gotta go to school, or I gotta go to the dentist.
Taco Tuesdays is what I look forward to. I get up in the morning,
okay.
I just look forward to the night when I can have Taco Tuesdays. My wife doesn't want to cook. Don't worry about it. It's my turn. Shrimp tacos tonight. Tacos.
That's why you're so excited.
Tacos, baby.
It's Taco and Tequila Tuesday at
Taco
the
Tuesdays.
Sylvester House.
Yes.
Okay, you know where to party. I won't give out your address, though.
No, don't do that. Sly Penitentiary.
Right.
It's a prison over there. Don't. If you guys want to go into the solitary confinement with me, you know.
All right. Tacos and Tequilas with Stevenson Sylvester.
Yes.
And JJ and Alex today is brought to you by our good friends at G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. So I'm wrong about Tuesday. It is Taco Tuesday. And the breaking sports news here in Utah just continues.
Every day.
To roll out each and every day. We've got a wow. And today we got a Woj bomb and BYU in the same tweet.
That's different.
I'd never seen this before. This is a brand new thing. But it happened. It happened this morning. And if many of you are just hearing about this, BYU has a new head basketball coach for the men's program. It is Phoenix Suns lead assistant Kevin Young. This is a big surprise. Because I don't think a lot of people thought BYU could get him from the NBA ranks. This is a coach who just interviewed for the open Brooklyn Nets job and was one of three finalists, and I'm hearing may have been the first choice but turned it down because they were working on this too. And this is big news for BYU basketball. This is a massive, massive response to the loss by Mark Pope, and it is our 3 o'clock cut.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
This segment of JJ and Alex also brought to you by our friends at Trajan Wealth. Give Trajan Wealth a call today for anything you need as far as financial planning, retirement, small business, 401ks, all kinds of stuff that they do there. They do a great job for you. Your local financial fiduciary, 801-899-7600, or visit their website at TrajanWealth.com. A lot of great things we're going to get to in the show. Danny Ainge, press conference today was awesome, kind of wrapping up the season and moving forward. You're going to hear a lot of that today in the show. We've got a wrap-up, we put a bow on the Masters. How about that? We've got Brian Taylor coming up at 4:30. And then Tim Lacombe is somebody who's going to be great to talk to today, both for the Jazz and for this news coming out of BYU today. So we look forward to Tim Lacombe coming up at 5:30. But right now, let's get to the big news of the day, the top story. BYU men's basketball has a new head coach. And it's not anybody I saw on the radar. I mean, everyone knew he was a potential, but a realistic shot at him? No, because no one thought that BYU could get the financial package together they would need to pull him out of the NBA slot.
Never underestimate the church, the power of the church.
I don't think this is the church. I think this is a very wealthy booster.
It had some
booster.
Influence around it, though.
This is a very wealthy booster that pulled this off. I won't say his name, but we all know one very, very wealthy, prominent BYU booster who can make things happen. And Danny Ainge is also, obviously,
money talks.
Somebody who can connect among NBA circles. And I think that's exactly what has happened here. And BYU fans are about to benefit from that because I believe this is an alley-oop from half court at the buzzer. This is amazing.
It's a highlight.
This is such an awesome hire. I cannot tell you how great this is for BYU. It was not easy to do because financially, and just give you a little background on Kevin Young. Maybe we should start there, Sly. So Kevin Young worked his way up the ranks, and he's got a long story. He goes up all the way back to Utah Valley back in the mid-2000s, worked under Dick Hunsaker on that staff, and then got into the G League. He was, even before it was named the G League, he coached the Utah Flash for a little bit. So he was coaching in the G League ranks. He even has head coaching experience there. So this is a guy that was grinding through the profession, and he finally gets to this point, Sly, where he's in the NBA now, and he's become one of the top assistants in the league. The reason why I didn't believe they had a chance, and why many didn't believe he had a chance, because he's interviewing for every NBA head coaching position that comes available. And like I mentioned, he was a finalist for the Nets job. And he's making $2 million a year as a lead assistant for the Phoenix Suns, who have Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal and Devin Booker and are making a playoff run. I don't know where they're at right now with that as far as, you know, they're the sixth seed. They've kind of underachieved in the regular season, but we all know what matters in the playoffs. You add all those things together, Sly, and I'm surprised that he was willing to take that step from pro basketball to college. College is a completely different game today than it's even ever been, and especially since he was in college back in the mid-2000s as an assistant.
Yeah, I mean, this is just tremendous. I actually love this decision for him, for Young, because when you go to the NBA, it's kind of the ceiling in the coaching ranks, okay, right? You know, you go to BYU, there's still levels that you can go at, and he's only, what, 41 years old. He can literally still develop, still make it to that next level, be that big landmark head coach that could get more offers. And if you look at his track record, he's a fan of switching places. He doesn't stay in one place too often. But this is a huge hire for BYU. One, coming off a good year with Mark Pope and transitioning to a guy who has tons of promise. He has head coaching experience. He's had his resume is what is so enlightening and probably why he's gotten so much attention to be a head coaching candidate in an NBA. Playing or coaching alongside guys like Doc Rivers, and now the good Monty Williams and Frank Vogel. He's done these things and learned from these winning coaches, and he can create a culture, create an atmosphere, create a game plan to make that happen. And now that's at BYU. You know, in this tough, they say the hardest basketball conference in the NCAA, he's coming in and he can make some noise. So I love this move for him, for BYU. Great young coach that will come in and you know, he'll do it the right way.
There's no doubt about that. Somebody who has coached some of the biggest names in hoop now at BYU is pretty crazy. Some interesting things about this situation. I mentioned he's in the NBA. You thought, how can BYU compete with the $2 million he's getting as an assistant coach? And the money he could have got, probably double that, as the head coach of another NBA team. He has no ties to BYU other than his faith, other than the fact that he's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But that does matter, and BYU has that preference, and that's been shown throughout time. But the thing about the money is I was wrong about that. I was way wrong about that. I teased it a little earlier that somebody that's very wealthy came up big here. They pulled up the Brinks truck.
Mm.
You want to hear the numbers?
Oh yeah,
now,
of course.
Now let me say this because we normally don't get salary information on BYU head coaches at the school. It's a private university. They do not have to disclose that to anyone.
Right.
This is a unique situation because Kevin Young is in the NBA and he has an agent that works in the NBA, and so that part of it was easily available.
The agent didn't know BYU's reputation.
So the obviously Woj reporting this and agents, the information is out on this one.
Right.
Okay. So this is what it cost. I should say it cost BYU. It cost a massive BYU supporter $30 million over 7 years. So that comes out, on average, you're looking at like $4.28 million per year to be the head men's basketball coach at BYU. Never in my lifetime. And of course, we all know how crazy inflation is, but this is a little ridiculous. A $4.25 million a year head coach at BYU, I'd never thought I'd see the day. Today is that day. Taco and Tequila Tuesday at Stevenson Sylvester's house is that day. BYU now has a men's basketball coach making $4.25 million a year. And I love it. I love it. Why? Because BYU has stepped up in a big way, whether it's a help of a booster, whatever. I don't care. BYU has stepped up in a big way. There was a lot of panic when Mark Pope left for Kentucky.
Right.
Because the coaching pool is shallow. There's not a lot of coaches that fit the profile and understand BYU where they can be successful at that school running that program. There's not many guys to choose from. Kevin Young's definitely on that list, but like I said, they didn't think it was possible. But you lose one of those guys who was on that list in Mark Pope, and he goes to Kentucky. You can't do anything about that. And we learned today that he's taking Colin Chandler with him. Colin Chandler, currently serving a mission for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, will not play at BYU. He has flipped his commitment when he returns from serving a mission. He will go to Kentucky with Mark Pope. That was a big loss for BYU. So BYU fans this morning, when first news that came out, are just crushed and understandably angry with Mark Pope, taking one of the best high school basketball players the state's seen in a decade.
Right.
To Kentucky. That was a major blow. But it was maybe an hour or two later, we hear this news. For BYU to have this kind of response to losing Mark Pope to a blue blood tells a lot about how aggressive BYU is right now in the Big 12.
They're trying to make things happen.
Sly, this was a massive statement by the athletic program, by their boosters, whoever helped foot the bill here. This is a statement that BYU is not going to fade. BYU is going to compete at the highest level in the Big 12, and they made a Big 12-type hire here. This is a big-time college basketball hire, even though he's been in the NBA. To bring an NBA guy with his credentials, he could easily be a head coach of an NBA basketball team in the next 6 to 12 months. I'm telling you right now.
And that's what's going to help. That's what's going to help recruiting. If kids know that, right? Like, you can see, like, Chris Paul talking about, like, this guy's going to be a head coaching one day. He knows the game. He knows what's going on. You're getting guys like that, as you said, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, the guys that have rotated through Phoenix and rotated through the Sixers, the teams that he's been on. He's been associated with some all-stars. Some really, really good talent. Joel Embiid, James Harden. He's been a part of some really good teams, so he understands how to handle that. All these young kids coming from high school, they're like, oh, this guy knows. I want to hear this guy's stories. He could teach me some things. He could teach me how to get to that third professional level. That's good for recruiting. So BYU is at a very, very good position after losing Mark Pope.
Here's another interesting thing you don't talk about. So imagine you're a basketball recruit and you get a phone call or a text, and it's from Kevin Durant. It's from Devin Booker. It's from Chris Paul.
Wow.
And they're saying, hey, Kevin Young coached me. He's as good as it gets. come to BYU.
Hey, look.
That's not a fantasy, guys.
Kevin Young can contemplate the message and just like, hey, yo, press send on this. Right? That is huge. And relationships are everything in every facet of life, and I think even more so in recruiting.
Some more information. Credit Matt Norlander of CBS Sports for some more info I'm getting here. He had the salary information. Now, a lot of you may be wondering, why would Kevin Young want to leave the NBA and go into the college ranks? Well, Norlander touches on it here. So apparently Young was excited about this opportunity and BYU aggressively pursuing him. And again, I'm just going to say it out loud. Danny Ainge and Ryan Smith played a big role in this.
Mm.
Okay? I was trying to be coy a little bit earlier. We know who the billionaire is, okay?
Just go in and
Danny Ainge and Ryan Smith played a big role in this, and it's awesome, and BYU fans should be thrilled that they did. BYU went aggressively at Young, and Young had this opportunity. And because – so he has the money, big offer. I mean, $4.25 million a year. And he has the opportunity to take a little bit of a step back from the NBA grind. Norlander mentions here that that was a factor. The NBA grind is real. Quote, the NBA grind is real, and cutting his season down was a factor, according to one source. So, look, college coaching ain't easy. And recruiting, that's a grind. That's all in of itself. But it's not the NBA grind. That's a different deal. And for him to be able to take a step back there, to be able to spend more time with his young family, and he's a perfect fit in Provo. I think because of those things, because he was a perfect fit for BYU, this opportunity made the most sense for him to combine that with the money. This was enough to sway him from the NBA and to come to Provo. And from Ryan Smith, Danny Ainge, everybody in the athletic department, Brian Santiago and Tom Homo at BYU. I'm sure they worked on this as well. And President Reese, they did it. They absolutely. This is a half court shot from the buzzer to win the game, man. This is a big time deal for BYU, and it's really impressive that
made
they pulled
it.
This off.
They made and the half court
nothing
shot.
But net on this hire. Now we thought Chris Burgess was the go to and. I'm hearing rumblings that they're going to aggressively pursue him as a lead assistant. I don't know if that's enough for him to leave Utah, but that's something that's out there as well. We'll have to wait and see on that and Kevin Young building his staff. Here's the tricky thing. While this is an amazing hire, Kevin Young's going to be with the Phoenix Suns the entirety of the playoffs, no matter how far they go. He's 100% committed to finishing the season with the Suns. So while he's doing that, he's also got to recruit, start working with NIL, try to keep their own players in the building.
Understand the college landscape.
Build his staff. And his staff hiring is going to be absolutely crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Because while he is an outstanding coach and he's the perfect fit as the head coach, there's a lot of intricacies about the college game that he hasn't been around in 15-plus years that he's going to need help with. He's going to need assistants who have been in that grind for the last while he's been in the NBA. He's got to nail it with his assistants, and there are some good assistants out there that he could try to bring. I'm sure those names will pop up here. I mentioned Burgess as being an option. We will see, but it's going to be tough to pry him away from the University of Utah, which is Burgess's alma mater. I don't know if Burgess wants to make that lateral move back to Provo, where he just left, to go back to Utah. We'll have to see how that all shakes out. But the bottom line is, no matter what the staff is, in my opinion, BYU has absolutely nailed this hire. A hire that we didn't think was possible. But everything is possible when someone ponies up the money.
Right.
And Ryan Smith made it happen. BYU made it happen. And this is exactly the response they needed to the departure of Mark Pope.
This is the type of write-offs that I want to have. Come on, University of Utah. I need to be able to write off stuff like this because this is great. Like,
you should have gone into coaching, Sly.
Jeez.
Work that coaching ladder.
I don't know.
Go be a grad assistant up at the U right now. Work 120 hours a week and make minimum wage? How does that work? Do they even get paid?
You have to go to school. I don't know if they get paid now. Everything's changed. Landscape's changed. So it's crazy. But, yeah, as you said, this is BYU fans have to be elated at this news. This is tremendous news. If you were to get somebody to replace, to come in and do it, this is the guy you're looking for. Yeah. This is the resume you're looking for. This is the caliber of a coach that you would want to have with experience all across the block at many different levels. He's had it at the college level. He's had it at the semi-pro level. He's had it at the professional level. He's been building his book of business, his ability to be a head coach at many different levels. He is, this is the guy you want. Young guy that's been around the block, can come in and make a statement in the Big 12. And so hats off to the BYU administration for getting this deal done. Hats off to BYU donors for getting this deal done. There's some excitement going around the whole state of Utah. No matter where you're at, from Utah
Crazy,
football
right?
team
Man.
To Utah women's basketball, be a WNBA draft, to BYU now, now their basketball team making noise, to Utah Snowmen, NHL.
You're pitching your mascot.
my new NHL team.
What happened to the Slashers?
I don't know, man. I'm not getting a lot of traction with that.
You got to push harder.
It's very ferocious, and I like it, but this could take the edge off a little bit, and I've seen a lot of people love the Yeti and that whole Sasquatchy type of atmosphere, and I'm just like, okay, we could do something like that. And what's relatable to snow? Or what's relatable to Utah? Snow.
Obviously.
We're the snowmen.
Greatest snow on earth.
We're the snowmen up here,
okay.
Right? Greatest snowmen.
There you go.
We're the greatest snowman.
Oh man! If I could sing, I would totally jump on that.
Man.
But I will spare.
Come on,
everyone
Hume Jackman.
Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. All right, coming up at 4 o'clock, Mitch Harper, our KSLSports.com BYU insider, will join us. He'll have a lot more on this hire, how they made this happen, how they got it done, what it means for BYU moving forward, the loss of Colin Chandler. Will Dallin Hall now get back in? And into the fold, out of the transfer portal. A lot of things surrounding BYU and this hire, so Mitch Harper will be here to break it down at 4 of 5. We got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to dig into the Utah Jazz. Danny Ainge, end-of-year press conference. A lot of great information that came out of that. You'll hear some of our favorite bits and pieces, and we'll share our opinions on that next. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2GBar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Accessing.
When TV and radio collide.
Love it.
Wow. This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex. Presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Don't miss your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. This week on Win Ticket Wednesday, which is not as good as Taco Tuesday at Sly's House.
It's not.
You can win a pair of tickets to see Blue October at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August 24th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. All right, Sly, let's get into this now. You're listening to JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester in for Alex Keery once again today, as he will be all week long. We have a lot to get to with the Utah Jazz. Season is over. Ended on Sunday. Disappointing season, Sly. And you can imagine Jazz fans are just really, like, in this place where they understand what the franchise is trying to do. They understand what the plan is, but it sucks because losing sucks.
Right.
And 31 and 51 seasons are rare here. I think it was only the 7th year since the Jazz moved to Utah that they've lost 50 games in a season. That's out of like 40 plus. I mean, it's crazy that they don't lose that often, and they've had that consistency over the years, but obviously they're trying to do something that's not as consistent, which is a good thing, because consistency over the years for the Jazz has not led to an NBA championship, and that is the goal now. So I think that Sly, you tell me, you as a Laker fan, the Lakers did have a spell there where things were pretty rough. As a fan, can you tolerate the losing if the management of the team is very, very out in front and they are describing exactly what they're trying to do? They're open about the plan.
Are they describing it?
Well, they did today.
Okay.
And that's the good thing about today. And that's what we're going to get to in this segment is Danny Ainge spent about 40 minutes addressing the media today, taking questions from the Utah Jazz media, and it was really insightful. And yeah, I think that there were a lot of things that he said today that kind of help fans understand what are you doing? Because there were a lot of things during the season that could make you say, okay, well, we got this team. We got Lauri Markkanen and Jordan Clarkson and Walker Kessler's coming back and Colin Sexton looks great. And we've got a really nice bench, a deep bench. We can make the playoffs. And they were trending that direction for a while. Remember how great January was. They won a lot of nice games, although you have to admit at the same time they were beating teams that were missing key players, but they were winning. And they were putting themselves in that playoff position. I think they got as high as 7 at one point. They were knocking on the door of number 6 in the West. And then they decide, you know what? This is not going to help us get where we want to go. We need to make some deals. We're going to trade some vets at the deadline. And we're going to go young the rest of the year because we aren't going to make the playoffs. It doesn't help us right now.
Get these young guys experience.
Get the young guys experience and make sure they keep that first-round pick and not convey it to the Thunder. So here's where we're at right now. Is things did not end well. There's a 13-game win losing streak. That was tough. The road losing streak still continues into next season. So there was a lot of things that were tough to digest for Jazz fans, and it's tough to turn on the TV and really have no reason to watch. I mean, I'm sorry, like pitching, like watch the young guys play. That's not sellable. That's not something that's getting people excited. It's fun to watch one rookie play with your stars. It's fun to watch Keontae play with Lowry. It's otherwise you're watching a G League game, and on Sunday you basically had the Santa Cruz Warriors taking on the Salt Lake City Stars on an NBA court on Sunday.
Yeah,
no one wants to watch that. So fans need to know that the Jazz have a plan, and Danny Ainge hit on some things today. First one I want to play is the goal to acquire one or two more stars, more two key players, even maybe it's not even stars, but. Christian, let's hit that one first. He uses a phrase in here that I really love.
Our objective is to, you know, find a player or two, and we're ready to roll. We're ready to go big game hunting. And that hasn't happened in the last 2 years. But if we start all over, like then we're 3 years possibly or 4 years from being anywhere. We feel like we're closer than that and we have a chance. I mean, we're going all in this summer to try to figure out what we can do to get better. When I say all in, that doesn't mean that we're going to throw all our chips in and like championship or bust. I'm saying our mindset is that we're doing only to try to win. That's our only objective for the first till we get to July. And if we don't land anything, we don't make any deals, we don't land anything, then our direction could change at that moment and wait till the next time that we can try to build a roster.
I think Danny Ainge listens to JJ and Alex when he listened to us last week, Sly. Not last week, 2 weeks ago, you and I had the conversation about where the Jazz go. What's the big move? Because, you know, I'm sure they want to do something. They have a stockpile of picks, and they've got a nice bevy of young players here on the roster. Or they've got Lauri Markkanen. You know what I mean? They got guys. They have a lot of ways to improve their roster quickly. And if an opportunity comes along that there's a big name out there to go get, they can strike. But it's like going fishing in a lake with no fish. There's no fish right now.
So there's the thing. I've been thinking about that. Yeah. I'm like, who is not a fish out there? Who is not, you know, available? Well,
I should have used a different analogy because Danny Ainge uses big game hunting.
Right.
So, okay. So you need to go take down that big monster buck.
Good choice of words for where I want to go with this, right? Great choice
is he
of
out
words.
There?
I've been thinking about, especially with the news this past week and honestly all season, right? And kind of before the season started and where we wanted Damian Lillard to go. I wanted Damian Lillard in Utah. It made sense, right? Yes, he was going through his divorce, But he's a West Coast guy, right?
Yeah.
Northern California to Oregon to Ogden, Utah. He's never been like that far away. Me, I've been in Pittsburgh. I understand being this far away from the West Coast means something. It's different.
Yeah.
I love Pittsburgh, but it's not home.
Right.
Right. And Milwaukee is 1,000 times worse than Pittsburgh. So, I mean, you just hear statements. Dame's a family guy.
Yes.
And that's why Utah just makes so much sense. This is a family community. You saw how this community embraced Donovan Mitchell. They would do the same for Damian Lillard, who he loves. Damian Lillard loves Utah. He loves Weber State. He supported his three-point contest. He's wearing his Weber State jersey. He loves the state of Utah. He said it multiple times, especially during the 2023 All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
This makes sense, right? He is a big game buck that you could essentially get, right? Of course, you know, the Miamis, the New Yorks, but in Damian Lillard's mind, now I'm on a team, right? I got the Doc Rivers, the head coach. I got Giannis Antetokounmpo, a two-time MVP, as my partner. But it's still not right. So maybe if I do go to this big market in Miami or New York, it still may not be right. What do I do know that's right? I love Utah. It's closer to my family and easier for my kids to get to me. When he had his 40-point games this year, I heard this stat this morning, it was only because his kids was in town visiting him, seeing him. He's very lonely out there.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to get to things here in Utah. I think he is an asset that we could possibly get for, you know, the resources that we have. Just imagine. You got Keontae George, Damian Lillard, Lauri Markkanen, right? Walker Kessler, John Collins can start, and then I got Kenny Lofton coming off the bench.
Kenny Lofton.
I love Kenny Lofton. I've been saying this for weeks. I've been raving about this guy. He went off at the end of the season. He's a young guy. You don't pay much, and you're going to get a lot from. Tough. Brings all that, but you bring him off the bench, he brings energy every single time. Anyway, that's it.
Sly just planted a flag on Kenny Lofton Island. That's a big island.
I am a big fan of Kenny Lofton if they invest in him. He looks like he's trimmed down too. Oh, great. But just imagine, that's a starting five. You create a couple more guys in rotation. You keep the young buck and Colin Sexton. You get an electrifying second unit. Why can't this be the Oklahoma City Thunder? Right? You get these young guys to make stuff happening, and it's not so much you're getting so many A-list superstars on the same team. And I think that's what people are missing in the boat. They feel like we need to have so many A-list superstars on the same team. No, you have to create a team. Who can fit where? Right? You get Keontae George, who can bring the ball up, set up the offense. You get Dame Lillard, bring the ball up when he wants to, but can execute, can go one-on-one, can score from anywhere on the floor, from around the hoop to deep and by the logo. He has a reputation for all that. He is the killer in the fourth quarter that you want on your football team. You have your ultimate slasher in Lauri Markkanen, who is just extremely tall and athletic and can get things done. And then you got John Collins, who's just a great defender, rebounds, athletic from the four position, and make it happen. And then Walker Kessler is the same way. Defense, right? He gets better on the defensive end, protects the hoop. You got things to work on. And you get rotation. I mean, me not being a Jazz fan and over here throwing out a game plan is beyond me. But this is what I would do. I mean, and then at the same time, you hear other guys who are not happy. Why not have a resurgence of Donovan Mitchell back in Utah?
Wow, that's crazy talk.
Is
that's
it?
Crazy talk.
Is
yeah,
it? No. Would Utah fans not accept him back?
How would that work, Sly? Like, what? Why would he want to come back here?
Again, he went out there. The grass isn't greener.
He wants to go to New York. That's where his grease. All that's right. Where his green grass.
And he's
going to
be even more upset with the New York market.
He grew up there. That's where he's from.
I don't want to go back to Vegas.
Okay.
I love Vegas. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to play for Vegas. But that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, New York market is great if you have the opportunity to go to Brooklyn or New York. But again, you've had that with James Harden, Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant, who's tried to team up over there, and it wasn't pretty. You're not going to get what you want. You've had success here. This Utah team is good when you're on the team. They got young guys. They can make things happen. You can make another run out here. LeBron James and Steph Curry ain't going to be in the Western Conference that long. It makes sense to me, but this guy's another. But Danny Ainge has assets and resources to pull the trigger when necessary.
They definitely want to go big game hunting. Maybe they finally say, you know what? We do need Damian Lillard because we want to make that push. We want to bring him in, and he'd be available. Here's two issues with Dame. And I love Damian Lillard, and it would be unbelievable. Here's the negative. He's 34 years old, does not fit the timeline of a young, up-and-coming team, and he makes $48 million a year on a Supermax. And that Supermax becomes $63 million in the final year of his contract in 2026-27, when he'll be 36 or 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, LeBron James is changing the times, right? You can be 39 and average 26-7.
if you're 6'8 and built like a Greek god.
A Greek god.
Damian Lillard, 6'2, taking a beating and keeps on ticking. But how many more years can someone who's 6'2 in this league continue to play at that level? It's tough. You've seen Chris Paul fall off quite a bit. To Chris Paul's credit, he's 38, 39 years old and still in the league. But you see the difference, right? It's just so hard when you're that size. I know this. Whoever that is that they feel will fit, they will not hesitate to make that move. And Danny Ainge and the Jazz are ready to go big game hunting, but hunting could be hard.
Yeah.
And they don't need to take the first buck they see and take him down. They need to be patient.
Be thorough, strategic about it.
Yeah.
You're right.
But it was a great conversation to kind of go through those guys, and that's what you have to do if you're the Jazz, is talk yourself through this. Damian Lillard in Utah sounds amazing. But
is he not worth 1 or 2 years? 1, 2, 3 years.
How do you get rid of his contract in 1 or 2 years? And do you want to bring in Damian Lillard?
If there's anybody that can do it, I think it's Uncle Danny.
A legend in our community, and not have it go well? I don't know if I want to run that risk.
You want to risk that? Nah.
You talk about risk assessment. I just think the risk is too much for the Jazz and for Dame with the legacy he has here for this to not go well. You would have to bring him in knowing he's the final piece of a championship team. And I don't think that's the case if that were who you brought in and what you'd have to give up to get him. You do have $30 million in cap space, so you do have a lot of room to absorb that kind of a salary, and that's what it probably will take eventually to be able to jar a star loose. I mean, who knows what can happen, Sly? Like, the Bucks losing the first round of the playoffs, do the Bucks just totally dismantle their roster? I think that's the one team I'm looking at. Is like, that team could really start tearing things down. Who are some other teams? I don't know. I'd have to go through. The Hawks are probably on the verge of that. What do the Kings start moving on from guys after a disappointing postseason run? You know, what are the Lakers going to do if they don't make it out of the play-in?
Yeah,
you know,
they got a lot of free agents.
I don't think that's going to happen starting tonight. Yeah. But you know what I mean. Like, there's a lot of loose parts that still need to be jarred loose here with the playoffs. And then we can assess what might be out there. Maybe a surprise will come along. And I think that the point that Danny made today, and we'll coming up at 5 o'clock, you'll hear a big chunk of this press conference in its entirety. So you'll get a lot more Danny Ainge, a lot more details. But that one line about big game hunting, I thought was great, and I wanted to share it with everybody. And I think that's exactly what the Jazz are going to do and what they need to do in order to take things to the next level. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, the NBA play-in tournament starts tonight. Very interesting games. Could the Warriors miss the playoffs? Do the Lakers want to lose tonight? Crazy talk, right? Maybe they do. We'll get into that more next on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2GBar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by our friends at Hercules Credit Union and Beehive Meals, which are delicious. You know what else is delicious, Sly? The NBA playoffs.
It's here.
And hot out of the oven is the NBA play-in tournament. It starts tonight with games in the West. In fact, at 5:30 Mountain Time, the Lakers will take on the Pelicans in New Orleans. Pelicans a favorite in this game, despite the fact that the Lakers just absolutely crushed them on Sunday to force this 7-8 matchup between the two teams. The Pelicans, had they won that game, would be the sixth seed instead of the Suns, and we'd have a Lakers-Suns game tonight in Phoenix. Instead, it is Lakers-Pelicans, which I'm sure the Lakers would much rather have as the matchup. But again, it's a play-in tournament, and anything can happen. And it's an interesting scenario in the West when you look at all the seedings, Sly, because the winner of the Lakers-Pelicans game gets the NBA champions, the defending champs, in a first-round playoff series without home court advantage. That doesn't sound like a prize to me.
No.
I'm not sure I'm interested in that. Now, would I rather have a similar situation but taking on the Thunder? Which one would you rather do? Thunder first round, Nuggets first round.
Well, being the eighth seed, you're actually in a good position, right? Because you can lose one and still have an opportunity to still be in, right? And so, but that's the thing, is you don't want to run that risk. You got dangerous teams behind you. The Sacramento Kings, Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk when he gets healthy. They are a dangerous team, along with the Warriors, who the Warriors just monkey stomped the Lakers all season. So do you want to play against the Warriors? No, you don't. And so this is just, just win the games that are in front of you. You know you can beat the Pelicans. You just showed it you can do it 2 days ago. And I think that, you know, the first round, because there are so many games because of so many different playoff games are going on, you'll have time in between games. So you get to rest. It's not a every other day. You know, you can be every third day within this series, rest, recover, be good, have a better strategic plan. Plus, you get some get back, right? The only way out is the way through. You got to face them at some point. The only way out is the way through, and you can get some get back from getting swept last year and Michael Malone calling him your daddy. That would piss me off, honestly.
You should not drink at the post-game.
Oh, you better drink at the parades. Hey, that year is done.
You say stupid stuff.
Hey, it doesn't matter. It's in the books. Now, whether you hold that grudge for forever after that, so be it. But I still got my title. You go ham at the parades. That's what it's all about. And I miss. I've had one parade in 2008. That was great. That was a great parade.
Pretty special, huh?
Yes. Yes,
that was
yes,
cool.
Yes.
I was there sticking a microphone in front of you guys' faces while you're driving in a car. Pretty cool. Yeah. I don't think the Nuggets care who they play. They're pretty confident.
No.
I'm not going to sit here and be naive and stupid and think that the Lakers are going to try to lose tonight. But they could benefit by losing if they were able to win the next game against the Warriors-Kings winner. But that's
if.
The thing.
It's a big if.
You're not guaranteed anything in this play-in situation.
Not guaranteed nothing.
And this is why the play-in tournament is so awesome.
It really is.
It's going to have an NCAA tournament-like feel tonight when the Warriors and Kings play. And if we get a Warriors-Lakers one-off for that 8th seed.
Man.
I don't think that'll happen. I think the Lakers win tonight. I think the Warriors win tonight. The Kings have really been scuffling. I know they're at home. That place is going to be nuts. They're going to want to light the
beam.
The beam, whatever they
That's
do over
great,
there.
Man.
It is cool.
I just realized they were doing that. But they've been doing it for decades. But I just realized they did that last year. I'm like, that is awesome.
It's a cool thing that they're doing. So they have their thing. And Sacramento Kings fans have suffered for a long, long time. They would not deserve a loss tonight, but I just feel like the Warriors, with Steph out on the court, a hungry Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and a one-off.
Well, lucky for me, I got the script yesterday. You know,
after,
right? You know, you got to have Kevin Durant in the playoffs, so you know they get the sixth seed.
Now that worked out pretty well for the NBA.
You got to have LeBron in the playoffs. Good marketing headlines for that against the former champions. So that's going to happen. And you got to have Steph Curry last run with the Splash Brothers because Thompson is a free agent this offseason. Yep. Draymond Green's going to be gone because he's just a headache.
And he can't play anymore. He sucks.
I mean, yeah. So this is the last run for them. Those are your headlines right there. That was a part of the script if anybody didn't get theirs. I got mine on PDF about 12 a.m. on Monday morning. So I read through it all night. But, I mean, those are the headlines. Those are the stories that you want to have. You get in a seven-game series with Golden State, Oklahoma City, with a young versus old dynamic teams in Oklahoma City and Golden State. Then you get, you know, last year's Western Conference Finals with the Lakers and Nuggets. And then you get the Timberwolves and Suns. You already seen that scuffle at the end of the season there with Bradley Beal and Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert going against Nurkic and Durant and Cat coming out. Like, that's going to be a great matchup. And then the 4 and 5, we already know that's going to be a classic, instant classic with Kyrie versus the Clippers. I mean, the Western Conference, man. Wow. I mean, this whole weekend is this, even the Eastern Conference, I absolutely love. I think DeMar DeRozan is playing great for Chicago right now. He's going to make it interesting in this play-in tournament. And then Joel Embiid coming back, he's going to make it interesting.
Fascinating.
Playoff Jimmy ain't going to make it easy on nobody.
Nope.
So this whole entire playoffs is going to be absolutely exciting. If you guys aren't tuning in, you are missing out. Well, you guys can catch us tomorrow as we, you know, recap.
We will definitely recap what happens tonight. It's going to be really fascinating to watch this. And if that scenario plays out, remember you heard it here first, Sly, with his conspiracy theory that the NBA wants,
I got the script.
Wants the Lakers and Warriors in the 7-8 spots in the playoffs. So we'll see how that all shakes out, but it's going to be fun to watch. Play-in tournament gets underway tonight. Lakers at Pelicans, 5:30 p.m. Mountain. Warriors at Kings, 8 p.m. Mountain time. All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, Mitch Harper joins us. Our KSLSports.com BYU Insider with everything, all the details on this hire by BYU as their new men's head basketball coach, Kevin Young, Phoenix Suns assistant, is coming to Provo. All that and more next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.